Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, thank you to our great sponsors, Jim K. Ford and the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team. To our Patreon members, a big thank you and a shout out to the project managers like Jimmy Fata, Henry Backer, Bill Grease, Tony Zane. We got our mug members, G Money, Marcus Von B. Thanks to our Turkey Skin Luggage members, Mark D., Matthew from Blackburn Hamlet, Burnsy 79, Kevin Waghorn, Martin Peddle, Mike Ennis, Randy Spence, and Retromag's Brian, along with all other Patreon members as well. To sign up today, check out our website, stevewproject.com, and thanks once again. Show's coming up.
The Steve Warren Project. Sports and whatever.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of the SWP, the Steve Warren Project. It's all about sports and whatever. Doing a late nighter, at least my time, as Jimmy's out on the West Coast. I'm here in Ottawa, Ontario, Canada, as per usual. James, what are you doing out west?
I'm in Palm Springs, Stevie.
Nice.
It's just one of the world's eighth wonders. It's an unbelievable place. Big destination spot for the rich, Stevie. So I'm not sure why I'm here. But it's just a lap of luxury. The whole. I don't know how many people live here, but there's a million people here right now, Stevie, because the famous Coachella festival is on. The music festival.
Right.
Yeah, Coachella. So I'm staying with a buddy of mine here. Lucked out again, Stevie. I was telling a friend, I'm down here doing a couple of life stories.
Right.
And so I plan it that way, going, I think I told you that the one guy lives in Saskatoon, but I said, don't you have a place in Palm Springs that you go down to?
Some A1 bootlicking there.
Yeah, no bootlicking. So here I am. I'm staying at Dave Morris, my buddy of mine who is from Sudbury, who's works but lives down here for the winter. Works off his phone, Steve. Like, works full time, busy guy, lots of deal maker, shaker and mover. And so he lives here. He said, why wouldn't I, you know? And the place is beautiful. Mm-hmm. Backs onto a golf course. I'm at, for anyone who knows Palm Springs, there's many, many gated communities, okay? The Rancho La Quinta and La Quinta, the place of La Quinta and Palm Springs and Palm Desert. And Rancho Mirage, there's a million different spots. And he lives at PGA West, Stevie, the Greg Norman Gates. If you ever get down here, Steve, take the Greg Norman Gates off Madison, Steve. He's the second house on the left. All right.
Nice.
You can sneak in the back, Steve, stay at the Casita, which is like a guest house.
Okay.
Which is where I am. So I'm slumming it again. Anyway, Stevie, I've played some fabulous golf courses in my life. As you know, the world mm-hmm. just unfolds for me. And he's a member of six different golf courses and four here. And one is called, that a lot of guys are familiar with, is called the Plantation. All the PGA courses, Arnold Palmer, the Weisskopf, the Nicklaus, the Greg Norman. But I played a course called the Quarry. And the Tradition is another course, which is an Arnold Palmer golf course. Stevie, hands down, the most beautiful and well-manicured golf course I've seen in my life.
The Quarry doesn't sound very manicured.
No, Quarry doesn't, but it is. The Tradition is, I played it today. It's. I don't know how to explain it. I your phone doesn't really... Like every hole is a different story. The flowers and everything. I was stopping and smelling the roses, and I've played Sherwood, Stevie, and Riviera, and all these other courses. You know that have been around at and played Shadow Creek in Vegas, another big one.
Champagne Jimmy.
Anyway, beautiful part of the world, and here I am doing a couple life stories. But I haven't. I came Wednesday, Steve, and we'll start recording tomorrow. The one guy sort of couldn't do it for a few days. So
now you're walking these courses or actually playing them?
And no.
If you play, okay. You played them. Yeah,
I played them. Yeah. I played the Quarry and I played the Tradition today. Yeah.
And how did you do? Because the last time we spoke, your golf
we played game was perfect. We only played 9 holes each one. I drove around the other ones. I didn't play. The other guy played because I started hitting it bad, and I was really enjoying the walk, Steve. Huh? The drive out there. I don't know. I think I shot 40 or something, 40 or 41. We played from a nice up tee, you know, about 6,200 yards, Stevie. And I'll be okay, Steve, this summer. I will be okay as a golfer.
From the forward tees?
Well, I used forward tee, and I had borrowed clubs and shit like that. I didn't, you know, I was playing in bare feet, and they said there's no dress code. So I played all right. Hit it okay.
Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're looking to buy or sell your home in the Ottawa area, the Glenn Walton Real Estate Team can help. And did you know Glenn is a massive sports fan? He's running a new contest. Super easy. All you have to do is go to glennwalton.com, send Glenn a message, and tell him what your favorite sports memory is, and you have a chance to win a $200 gift card just for doing that to any store or restaurant in the city. Check it out today. Again, a chance to win a $200 gift card simply by telling Glenn what your favorite sports memory is. Go to glennwalton.com. I guess the question I would have for you, because we basically just fired on the mics today. We didn't even talk about what we're going to discuss on the show. But the Masters is a pretty big storyline. And I'll ask the question right out of the gate. Did you get to, since you were playing, did you get a chance to see any of the Masters? Scottie Scheffler, your winner.
Yeah, I saw all of it. Because of the time change. So the final round of the final group starts at like 11 in the morning here, 11:30. I did. I went over, I watched some of it here at my buddy's then, and I got another guy down here. He had a little Masters party. So I went over and watched the back nine. Yeah. I'll tell you what, I don't think it had as much drama, for a final round. As I've seen in the past, it was in my mind, not dismissing the pressure to, you know, if you're one shot back or two shots back or leading by one, two or three. I mean, I look every year and go, how are you handling your nerves, man, here to win the biggest golf tournament on the planet? But it was kind of uneventful, Steve, the back nine. He just, unless you haven't heard.
Allow me to reset the number. I've got the numbers here. It was basically Scottie Scheffler wins the Masters. He had a 4-under 68, ran away from the field, finished up at 11-under, 4 shots ahead of Masters rookie Ludvig Åberg. And I was joking around, and I'll let you continue your train of thought there, but I was joking around that, you know what, maybe they should think about, you know, the curling shaking of the hands when the match is no longer in doubt. They kind of concede. Right. I felt like right around, I don't know, but the 10th or 11th hole, they could have shaken hands and said, Scheffler, you've won.
Well, it began to have that feeling, you know. It was alive and well going into the back nine. I don't have a hole by hole, but I'm, you know, he was, you know, even maybe just tied for the lead, maybe up a shot or two going into the back nine, you know. And then everyone just started to self-destruct.
Yeah.
You know, Åberg made a double, I think, on 10. I think Colin Morikawa made a double on 10 or 11 where they hit it in the water. And then it was like, okay. And you know, Scheffler just pokes along there and, you know, stepping on their throat continually every hole, just did not make a mistake, you know. Made a bogey, I think. Maybe one bogey, maybe a couple of bogeys or something, but the guy's just nails right now. He doesn't waver too much. He doesn't get too excited. I've never seen him fist pump making a putt. I saw Colin Morikawa do it a few times. But he just pulled away. He just pulled away. And the other guys fell off though too, Stevie. You know, give him his due for sure, Scheffler, but but they collapsed. Bryson DeChambeau collapsed. Cam Smith had a chance there for a while. I think he got to 3 or 4 under. I'd have to see the final leaderboard.
Colin Morikawa, Max Homa, Tommy Fleetwood. They were, that was the top five. They were all at 4 under par. And Åberg was second.
Yeah, the big collapse is Max Homa. Okay, of everyone that people are watching. The biggest story is that Åberg, first time in the Masters, he's 23 years old, and was right in the hunt until the last 3 or 4 holes. You know, the kid was good. He's won already this year. He won. He was part of the Ryder Cup team, so he might have been 22 when he did that, and the winning team, Europe. He's going to be a force for sure. But it was sort of. There wasn't any big breakdown. Like, okay, the guy made a double. That can happen. Bad timing, pressure on Sunday. That happens. Now you're 3 behind, and now you're 4 behind, and Scheffler is 12 feet again. Okay, so you got no shot.
Yeah,
you know, like no one put any pressure on him. Any pressure.
The thing I liked about Åberg is the thing I'm about to talk about with Scheffler and the demeanor that both of these guys have. When you compare it to, you know, other Masters stories like Tiger, we always think of the, like you mentioned, the fist pumping. Like, he's riding a wave of emotion as he's having all these great moments. With Scheffler, it was what we coach every athlete to be: never too high, never too low. It was absolutely wild. And Åberg was much the same. In fact, he was almost striking me as someone who is insane. Like, he just finished up a double bogey and he's like having a good old chuckle with his caddy, like it's no big deal. Like, they're really keeping things in perspective. But Scheffler's the story, and I wonder if we're on the precipice of seeing something Tiger-esque. The guy is dominating so much right now, and he doesn't seem to let anything faze him whatsoever. Like, the guy was, and we've seen other golfers and majors have passed. The guy was, I'm a phone call away from leaving this golf tournament because my wife's about to give birth. And it never happened, but that adds another layer of pressure as a first-time father thinking about that the whole time. I shouldn't even be here. And yet he just took it all in stride, and he just seems like a classy individual on top of everything else. His caddy, you know, making that walk to fill out his scorecard. He makes sure his caddy's up in front of him as they go to the scorer's tent. Gotta love the guy, but I think he's on the verge of doing something really remarkable in the sport, but at the same time, I'm having a hard time embracing him. DeChambeau, I embrace because he's the villain. Other guys, I embrace, like, I like them, and I'm just finding, you know, I'm admiring and I'm respecting the hell out of what he's doing right now, which is, I think, potentially going to be historical. But I don't have any emotion about Scottie Scheffler right now because he has none.
Right. Yeah. And, you know, the story was he was going to walk off if his wife went into labor. And they're like, okay. That would be incredible. Can you just kick in the Kegels a little more, honey? I'm ahead by 3, you know. You'd almost have to make the phone call, Steve, like you were playing with the boys. Honey, is it okay if I just grab an extra 9? Okay.
Yeah.
There's 5 million on the line. Okay. Life altering. Anyway, it didn't happen, obviously. But I didn't see him. I took off from one house to the next when they teed off at 18, when I saw his tee shot was in the fairway. So I missed him knocking in the final putt. And someone said he might have teared up. I don't know if he cried or not. And then in Butler Cabin, you know, they said, you know, Jim Nantz, God bless him. Okay. Jim's trying to really tug at the heartstrings. Okay. Mm-hmm. Not getting it from this guy.
He kept joking out, you're going to make me cry. He didn't look like he was going to cry.
No, he didn't cry at all. Yeah. He didn't, you know, Jim Nantz goes, Mr. Chairman, Scotty, before we do this, you're about to be a father for the first time. And you've won Augusta for the second time. Can you tell us what your wife means to you and what you're thinking right now.
Yeah.
Right? And then Jim Nantz sort of leans back. Scotty goes, I just want to get home.
Yeah, he dropped an I love you. I thought the same thing. I was expecting the long thank you and what you've meant to me to get to this point. Yeah. He literally said, I love you and I can't wait to get home. Next question.
Exactly. Love, but lovable guy. I mean, just he.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm looking back. Would you call John Rahm humble? Not for a second. Dustin, so quiet, you know, so people don't know what he's thinking. Tiger's Tiger. Patrick Reed was hateable. Sergio Garcia, you know, not exactly humble. You know, Bubba Watson, a little bit annoying. All these winners over the past. Hideki, you know, I don't know what Hideki's like. He doesn't speak English. So anyway, the interesting thing, Stevie, is over the years, he wins at 11 under. Last year it was 12. The year before it was 10. The year before that it was 10.
Mm-hmm.
Dustin Johnson won the thing at 20 under. It's been a year where I thought it would have been close to a record going into it but then the bad weather hit, right? They had to delay it. But if you were ever going to sort of come out of nowhere, or be a dark horse in this thing and have a shot, it's when the bad weather kicks up, you know, that it's kind of an equalizer, Steve, for everyone, right?
Right.
It's the great equalizer, as a matter of fact, you know? And yet no one really did. Like, you know, I think one guy today shot six under. One guy.
Right.
And it didn't mean anything. It was so far back. But Scheffler shoots four. I don't know what the final results were, but a bunch of guys, Stevie, Hovland, Justin Thomas, Dustin Johnson, a bunch of other guys, Stevie, who missed the cut. Not just the cut was high, Stevie. It was plus six was the cut. So, you know, plus seven, you should miss the cut. Plus five, you should miss the cut. Plus four, you should. But
yeah.
But the weather was so bad. Those guys I just mentioned, Steve, they shot like Tiger Woods shot 82 one day. And he made the cut.
Yeah.
Dustin Johnson, I think, shot 81. Hovland shot 82. They're like just these incredibly high numbers. So
almost like Augusta National is a difficult course. And what do they say? You've been there. You've walked the course, right? What they say about it is it's, you know, there's nothing flat. It's just so undulating, not just the greens, but everywhere. You'll never have a flat lie in that whole place. It's just challenge after challenge after challenge. And I think that was, that was part of it. That, you know, it was a pretty nondescript leaderboard after Scottie Scheffler, Tommy Fleetwood, great player, Morikawa's won. But, you know, Max Homa and Ludvig Åberg, like these are not exactly household names. And I just, I think that sometimes, you know, because it was a four-way tie.
You're right.
It was a four-way tie right around at the turn. And
was it? Was it that close at the turn? Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think they were all six under around the turn, four guys, and then Scheffler just skated away on them because he's played in so many pressure situations and he just shut the door on them while once he started to pull away, now you're chasing and now you're forcing and their scores showed that.
Yeah. This is a guy too, Stevie, who jerked a 2-foot putt yesterday, I think. Scheffler.
Like on his short game's had some trouble lately.
Yeah. So I think the most revealing stat, Stevie, when looking at the Masters, is you've got this bad weather. You've got you know, every year you hear the same thing going, you're gonna make some bogeys. You're gonna make some bogeys. Okay. This is not a pitch and putt, you know. And you know, other tournaments you know, there's been guys who've gone bogeyless, which is, you know, but you're going to make bogeys every day when you're here. Okay. So that right away, you know, and you're probably going to make a couple a day. So every right away, you're guaranteed to be eight over.
Right.
Okay. You're going to make a few birdies. You're going to make a few, but definitely you're going to make a couple bogeys a day. Xander Schauffele went bogeyless. Yeah. Today or yesterday or something. That, you know, they made a big deal out of it. That's how big a accomplishment that is. The big stat, Stevie, So knowing that, you're going to make bogeys and you're probably going to make the odd double. Okay. You're going to probably going to make a double in there somewhere. Okay. Is they've got a stat now, Stevie, called the bounce back stat. Mm-hmm. Okay. So how do you do after you make a bogey or worse? Right. How do you do in the next hole? Guess who's number one on that? You got it. You got it.
Yeah.
Hideki. No, I'm kidding.
that would make no sense at all.
That would make no sense. Yeah, Scottie Scheffler has he's leading the league in bounce back, you know?
Right.
And that is a strong stat, man. That is a strong stat. You look at some of those scores yesterday that there was the kid, was it Norberg, who was right in there yesterday and then peeled off, you know, he bogeyed 10 or 11 and then bogeyed the next four or five in a right. row, you know, that when guys go bad. Morikawa started making bogeys and pissed away the tournament.
Well, there's certainly lots of other storylines in the Masters as well. You mentioned Bryson DeChambeau earlier, 65, unbelievable first round. And so many people talking about those clubs that he had printed. He had his clubs printed. Well, those 3D printers, right? That you can basically build anything, right? And I guess that's exactly. And so he has these single length irons made through 3D printing to perfect specifications, more than if you were, you know, forging steel with the normal process. And so after a 65, everybody's talking about the clubs, probably ordering them. And then he goes 73, 75, 73. Stop production on the clubs. Everybody's canceling. So that was interesting. I didn't even know that technology was, you know, something that would give you a leg up for golfing. Yeah, that's Bryson DeChambeau in a nutshell. If there's something new and innovative out there, he absolutely wants to try it.
Here's the other thing, though, as I have never seen anyone look more uncomfortable over the ball when they're getting ready to hit a shot than Bryson DeChambeau. Have you ever seen you ever seen him, Steve? Like his left shoulder, Steve, goes like way up in the air. When he's over there, his arms are like locked solid straight.
Yep.
He's got this goofy club and like it just looks so uncomfortable. You know, when he putts, it's the same too. He's got his arm way up and, you know, it's like, oh my God, you got to relax, man, when you're playing golf.
Yeah. It's like everybody talks about that. Every pro says, you know, you got to be loose. You got to let that, you know, timing, rhythm flow in the swing, you know, limber. And he's just stiff as a board. That putting stance. That putting stance is like he's having a back spasm or something. Like, I can't.
Yeah.
Like he can't move his neck or something.
He's good, though.
Yeah,
he's good. Yeah. But,
you know what else I was thinking about with that, with Scottie Scheffler? You know, when he drives a ball, I always say, like, if I'm playing with you and you had the feet action that he has when he drives a ball, I would say, Jimmy, you hit that thing a million yards, especially because it looked like you slipped there. But Scheffler looks like he slips on every drive.
Yeah, and I would, if I didn't look at a shot of Scheffler's, right? If I didn't look at the result of the ball, I go, hey, Scotty, I am a club handicap 9, but you've got to stop that movement with your feet. I've been playing golf my whole life. I'm a purist of the game. Those feet got to stay on the ground, Scotty.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, well, I'm fucking 340 up the middle. Every shot, Steve, looks like an amateur. His finish, like, I just expect that he's going to turn around right away to his partner and go, where did that go?
Yeah. Yeah.
Where'd that go? Well, fuck, man. It's, you know, it's going to go anywhere with you doing the river dance coming through the fucking ball, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's funny. You're reminding me of something I saw online. It was a funny social media post from an LPGA player. I'm sorry, I don't know her name offhand, and she's certainly not a household name, but she's on the LPGA tour, and she's at a public golf range working on her rebuilt swing and trying some different things, but, you know, they show her hitting the ball, and she just hits it a million miles, but some dude who's next to her in... totally chauvinistic mode, he's coming over and giving her tips. No, you gotta slow down that backswing, and I just totally mansplaining to an LPGA player, like one of the best, you know, 200 women on the planet as far as golfers go, and he's giving her advice. It was classic. And she took it in stride. She really did. I thought she could have really gone crazy, and she just sort of smiled and said, thank you. But I'm sure in her heart of hearts, she wanted to tear him a new one.
Yeah. It brings me back, Stevie, when you say that about the guy not knowing who he's fucking dealing with here, right?
Yeah.
I was in Halifax years ago doing a golf event. This is before we did the radio show, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah, a cool event. It was Mike Weir. You've heard me talk about this before. Mike Weir plays Mary Lemieux, Brett Hall, and Wayne Gretzky in a golf match.
Right.
It was cool. Long time ago. And a bunch of other guys were there. Russ Courtnell and Marty McSorley was there. A bunch of other guys, you know, the B Club. And someone, and Harry Neal was sitting around the table, and Bob Cole. It was a pretty cool scene. And they're all talking about hockey, of course, right? Mm-hmm. And someone asks a question about, I think, a rule or something, okay? About that where it was the clutch and grab or one of these things, Stevie. How do you think guys would do today in hockey? I think it was something like that. How would you do today if you still played, right? And so to my left is Mario Lemieux. On my right is Wayne Gretzky, and sitting directly across from me is Brett Hall, okay? About a jillion goals between them, okay?
Yes.
And someone asks, how do you think you do? Marty jumps in and goes, let me explain to you guys what it would be like right now to play in the NHL. Even Bob Cole, right, who wouldn't say shit if it was in his mouth. He's so nice. Not sure about that, Marty? Let's get Mario first, you know. Everyone looked at each other, you know. And Marty was serious, man. Yeah, sort of like the guy going over to help the LPGA, yeah. I remember Wayne just going, looking at me, kicking me under the table, going, this will be good.
Yeah, that's so good. You couldn't even think of three better guys that should be getting the microphone first.
Yeah, exactly.
A couple of other Masters notes. Vern Lundquist calling it a career, one of the truly great voices in golf. This was his final Masters of his career. So that was kind of, you know, you think about his great calls of, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And better than most, I think, was him as well. But he's been around for a long time and definitely very much associated with Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods and the calls that he made. And he said,
yes,
I saw they had a great vignette on him today. And he says, you know what? There's worse guys to be connected to in the sport of golf than Jack Nicklaus and Tiger Woods. So kind of nice.
Yeah, is that cool?
Yeah, it was very cool, I thought.
Are you ready to take your Ford ownership to the next level? Introducing Ford Pass at Jim K. Ford, your passport to a world of convenience and control. Start your vehicle remotely, lock or unlock it from your smartphone, receive instant alerts about your vehicle's health, and schedule service appointments. Don't miss out on the Ford Pass revolution at Jim K. Ford, 1438 Uville Drive in Orleans, or online at jimkford.com.
At Jim K. Ford Lincoln, we say yes!
If you're an Ottawa Senators fan, you need to check out my other podcast, the Jim K. Ford Sens Nation podcast. Each week, longtime coach Greg Kennedy and myself go hard on the latest Sens issues and news, some great discussions with players and insiders. Check it out today, SensNationHockey.com.
And, you know, the other piece of news, Stevie, it's because he tirelessly, Stevie, was looking for the real killer. And that's probably what caused his death, Steve.
Yeah.
Because he spent all day, every day looking for the Ron Goldman and Nicole Brown Simpson killer.
Right. Yeah.
And he died. OJ Simpson, of course, Stevie.
Yep.
You know, it probably just, you know, day after day, Steve, out there.
Yeah. You know,
delivering flyers, doing press conferences, seeking the way. Stevie, okay, I'm going to fucking tell you something about the OJ Simpson thing. All right. So they're trying to get people to comment whether you think he was guilty or not. Mm-hmm. Okay. So you've probably seen on they went right back to the verdict. They went right back to people loving that he was not guilty to other people being outraged. Okay.
Now, hang on. Was this something that happened recently since his death or back in the day?
No. Since his death.
Okay.
They were showing. It was in 93 when the murder committed. The trial, I think, was 2 years later in 94 or 5. And they were, you know, it was the trial of the century.
Of course.
Right? It was the trial of the century. The judge was an idiot. Marcia Clark was pretty good. The other guy, though, was over his head. He had the great legal team. The judge, it was just, you remember it. I watched it.
Yeah, of course. I'm just looking to establish timeline as to when these questions were being asked of people. So it's since sometime between present day 2024 and the actual conclusion of the trial.
That's right. But they were showing this week highlights of the trial, what it meant after OJ died. And they were showing people waiting for the verdict. And they had cameras at different, where places were rammed with people that day. Mm-hmm. And lots of people were super happy that he was not guilty. Tons and tons of people thought he was not guilty. Here's the thing, Stevie. So what they're trying to do is ask people, now do you think he was guilty or not? And the guy's going, I'm not giving you any opinion on that. I'm just because he died, I'm not doing it. Here's why I think he was guilty, Stevie, okay? Here's the main reason. Not like all the shit that cell phones and all that shit. Who goes on that drive, Stevie, in the Bronco? Who does that after he discovers, apparently, according to him, that she's been murdered and so is he? Who goes on the whatever drive that, that?
The guilty guy.
The guilty guy, doesn't he, Stevie?
You only even have to go to the civil trial that followed the criminal one. Like, he was found in a civil court of law, like he was guilty. And so he got some breaks. The glove don't fit. You must acquit and all that. I've always had the opinion that he was completely guilty. No question in my mind. But it is an interesting thing how people sort of treat the whole thing differently after the passing of the person. It was sort of the same with Michael Jackson and the allegations over the many years. People started talking maybe a little more after he passed, but it's still a lot of people clam up one way or the other.
They asked Ron, the Goldman family. Was it Ron? Was he the victim who got murdered, or is that his dad, Ron Goldman?
I believe it's Ron is the victim along with OJ's wife, Nicole.
Nicole Brown said, so Goldman's father, who they've been pursuing this thing at length to perhaps get more money. They were the court awarded them $33 million in the civil suit, and apparently they got $100,000 or something like that. Mm-hmm. No one really knows if they've been trying to get more money, but someone asked them, what does this mean? That O.J. Simpson has died. And Mr. Goldman said, he's dying with no penance. Like he probably had a chance to come forward, and he didn't. The guy was pretty level, cool about it, Like I thought, don't why are you going to ask that guy that,
Right.
I'll tell you what I think, that he's dead, right? That would be me, right? It was sort of his angle on it.
I like to think there's something going on after we go and that there's some sort of penance still waiting for that guy. That's something we'll discover many decades, hopefully, from now. I saw an investigative reporter. I've never seen this before, and it looked like something that maybe came out of the late 90s, early 2000s, just based on the quality of the video. But she's an investigative reporter, and she has a one-on-one with O.J. Simpson, and she was a real, pit bull with her questions, and she wouldn't let O.J. Simpson sidestep the questions, and finally said, okay, I'll ask you one more question. Did you do it? And he had eyes darting back and forth. No, I didn't. And then it didn't look convincing, but as she's sort of narrating her own interview with the guy, says, you're not going to believe what this guy did shortly thereafter. Cause he was obviously upset with the level of questioning. So she opened a door to a room and OJ was there with a knife doing the psycho thing, like
as a joke,
like to your point about, does that sound like a not guilty person to you?
Yeah. Here's another one, Stevie, that came out. Cochran was the head of that big team, right? Cochran and Kardashian were the two lawyers.
Right.
And Cochran and Kardashian come into an office one day of a lawyer, to apparently and look fairly obvious to the administrative assistant who was working in that office where they showed up that they were there and dropped off an envelope to the lawyer. And for reasons that we find out yesterday, the chick in the office, who's the admin chick, says she had to sign a non-disclosure. No, dude, you're looking like you're going to take out chick. Don't take that out, Steve.
I didn't take a chick.
Are you? Oh, okay. No, I thought you looked down.
No, I just wrote down a note saying I wanted to congratulate the Team Canada women's hockey team for winning the Worlds earlier today before the show ends. So I wasn't deleting anything.
Okay. So anyway, this admin girl, they make her sign a non-disclosure deal, okay?
Right.
An NDA.
Okay.
And so she's never been able to talk about this until OJ died, okay? And part of this deal was it looked like they were paying off, making a settlement with this girl that had accused OJ of sexual assault way back when, and a couple other things. And she released a statement yesterday or the day before. She said, now I can finally speak, but this is what it was all about. So
wow,
there was some history there, Stevie. So anyways, yeah, he died.
Yep. Enjoy hell, as our pal Eric Macromala said. He had a good point. It's like when you know, we kind of wax over, you know, people we didn't like or something like that when they pass away. You're reverent. You try and try not to speak ill of the dead and stuff. In this case, it's hard to spend any time on the positives. No one's all bad. There's no doubt about that, but it's hard to spend any time on positives because I think we all know what truly happens.
You know what's negative, Stevie?
What's that?
I don't think Connor McDavid has played the last two games with the Oilers.
Oh, he hasn't. No, I think he's missed three straight now.
Fuck.
I'm not sure where we're at between now and the playoffs, but that's not good news for sure. But at least you're going to the playoffs. My Senators missed for a seventh straight year. They got a couple of games left before things wrap up. And then it's once again, exit meetings before day after the regular season ends and they go their separate ways. But I think the next time they get together, they will be a very different looking team. They've got a new GM in Steve Staios, Dave Poulin riding shotgun with him. I think the two of them have seen enough now of this team to see what the deficiencies are, and hopefully we'll address them well. And before we go today, James.
Yes, sir, Stevie. Yep. What?
Mm-hmm. I want to ask you this because I worry about you sometimes in this crazy scammer world we're in. I know you like the good scam, but you're not the most.
I do. I like a good scam.
You're not necessarily the most computer savvy guy. So,
no.
Do you pick up phone calls from numbers you don't recognize?
Occasionally. I do.
Yeah.
I'm not adverse to it. I'm getting a sense I shouldn't do it anymore from where you're going with this, but I do it.
I think a lot of people do, particularly those of us who run our own businesses, right? Your new business might not come in with a number you recognize, but it might be an opportunity. So
sure.
I'm now at a stage now where I think I'm going to stop and here's why, because, and if you do that, then, it's important to kind of don't say anything more than hello until you're sure they're on the level. Just say hello. And if they come back at you with hello or anything else, like sort of wanting you to say more things, you can, because we all know what a scammer sounds like once you get on there for about 5-10 seconds. Now, thanks to AI technology, scammers are now calling people up at random and recording their voices. And with AI now, once they have it, they'll clone your voice. And now they can add it to a soundboard the same way we used to with that Arnold Schwarzenegger soundboard.
Right.
Yeah. Now they can do it with Jim Jerome's voice. You know, find all, you know, go on Jim Jerome's Facebook, see the people you know, get in contact with them. And now with Jim Jerome's voice, they can say, oh, I need your help. I'm golfing and I need money or whatever it is. And so I guess my advice is be really, really careful with that stuff when you decide to answer a number you do not recognize, because the scammers are cloning stuff now. It's just getting out of control.
Well, yeah, all you got to do is look online, go to Facebook and watch these endorsements from celebs where it's their voice. It's slightly out of sync, their lips, but pretty close.
That's right.
And you know that there's no way Harrison Ford is endorsing erectile dysfunction medicine. Not a chance, right? But you think I'm being funny, but go look at it, right? It's like that. People are so frightened, Steve, of AI. Every time I talk to someone, that like I absolutely clam up, Steve, because every 3 days, you know, someone will go, "Oh, crap, fucking AI. Oh, you've heard what they can do now."
Okay. Yeah.
And then someone will go like this: "Did you hear what they can do today? It came out." What came out today? Did you hear? It just came out this morning. Did you guys hear what happened this morning? No. Oh yeah. Now they can make your face look like your face, but it's someone else. And holy fuck, you're kidding me, you know? And then a week later you go, "Did you hear that they can make their face? Oh yeah? Did you hear what happened today? Did you hear what came out today?" Yeah. I mean, it's like you can actually get up in the morning and you're gonna look down and it's not gonna be your legs. They're gonna be someone else's fucking legs. Okay, like Pisterios or something. The Greek guy there who went to jail. What? Yeah, yeah. You're going to wake up and it's not going to be your body at all. It'll still be you, Steve. It'll still be you, but it's not going to be. Yeah, you're going to be a big fat pig. Okay. And you're actually going to be a pig, but it'll still be you.
Yeah.
Okay, Steve. So don't worry about it.
It's going very, very fast.
If I hear that once more, don't you hear what happened today?
But that's true. It's like, with every passing day, this technology is just growing like nothing we've ever seen before. I think we all need to go back. And this is a movie that's ahead of its time. I don't know if you've ever seen 2001: A Space Odyssey and how basically the computers take over. I think it's maybe time we go back and look at that movie, the planet.
Drones. You see these drones? Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're going to deliver gifts. And now there's robots, Stevie, that are actually delivering food. Okay. Like they just go down the sidewalk and deliver. Oh my God, you're kidding. Yeah, yeah, they can do that.
Yeah.
There's drones now, Stevie, that can actually pick up your house and move it with all your family in there. You're going to wake up one day, Steve, and you're going to be in Hudson's Bay. So, you hear what they're doing today, though, Steve? Did you hear today? Did you hear today? Did you hear what's going on today? I don't know, Steve. Yeah. I don't know. They're gonna sleep with your wife and you'll never know it.
Oh, what? That's terrible.
Oh yeah. As of today, they can do it right through the phone.
Wow, that's crazy. That is crazy.
I think you and I can have a lot of fun with this one day.
I think so. Anyway,
What did Jim and Steve think?
I just read that article shortly before I came in the air and I said, I've got to let Jimmy know that and let the good listeners know about that.
It's good idea. Don't talk.
Yeah, don't just say hello. They say it takes they probably need 2 to 3 seconds of you talking before they can clone it. So just say hello and then get a sense of what's going on, and then you'll be able to tell if it's a scammer. Anyway,
Jesus Christ.
Did
you hear what's happening today though? Did you hear today what they came
up with? They've got somebody that can properly wrap up a podcast.
I know you just broke that story, Steve, but did you hear what happened at 5 after 9? My time. Let's get out of here, Stevie.
All right. By the way, did you see Curb Your Enthusiasm's finale yet? Are you a Curb Your Enthusiasm?
No, I saw that on TV. I see that on TV. They were interviewing a chick who was an actress on that show.
Right.
No,
probably Cheryl Hines.
I haven't seen one full episode of that. I'm saving it.
Well, the thing about it is, and I don't want to give it, I'm not going to give too much away, but it really is like Larry David, who's the star of Curb Your Enthusiasm, was also one of the brains behind Seinfeld. And while Seinfeld is just about a perfect sitcom, in my opinion, the ending left something to be desired. And if you've seen the ending of Seinfeld, you're going to, I don't want to give spoilers, but there is a pretty, I wasn't that smitten with the finale. I know what Larry David was trying to do with a nod to the Seinfeld finale, but I gotta say, I wasn't real pleased with it, but we'll see what people think and I don't want to give too much away.
I know, Steve. I know. But did you see what they did today with the finale?
Oh, no.
Yeah, did you see what they did with Seinfeld today? Did you see what happened today?
No, I didn't see that.
That's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy, Steve. Don't answer your phone. And don't watch Seinfeld.
Our website is stevewproject.com. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen, for being with us today. And we shall talk to you next time. Thanks, James.
Good night, everybody.
We'll see you.